Hi, friends. I'm Arthur Brooks. I'm a professor at the Harvard Business School and the Harvard Kennedy School, and I'm also a columnist at The Atlantic. My job is to write, speak, and teach about the science of happiness. That might not sound like a very business-like topic, but in point of fact, happiness is really all about the business of life. I have a new book out that talks about this. It's called The Happiness Files. The Happiness Files is a curated collection of my columns from The Atlantic on work and life. Do you want to be happier in your work and life? I assume you do. Most people do. Well, I make the case that your life is kind of like a business, a startup business at that, and you should manage it as such. You are You Incorporated. You're the founder. You're the startup entrepreneur. What does that mean? Well, that means that you need to be able to take risk. That means you need to know the currency of the fortune you're trying to accumulate. And that's why I write about in the Happiness Files, how you can see your life in this way, be more successful at doing just that, not just getting richer, not having more power or the admiration of strangers or these worldly things, but getting what you really want, which is more love and happiness in your life. So how do we do that? The answer is, in this book, well, sort of five things. This book is broken up into five basic sections. Let me tell you a little bit about each one. The first is managing yourself. Why is that important? Well, because in the startup of your life, you're the most important employee. So you better manage your best employee. You might as well manage the person who's responsible for the whole enterprise. Self-management is a skill that successful people have. More importantly, it's a skill that happy people have. Now, some people are very successful in managing their professional lives, but managing their personal lives is a different kettle of fish. You'll learn in the first section of this book why these things, why they're different and why self-management for some people is harder than professional management. We'll talk about philosophy and religious faith, friendships, family, romantic relationships, how these feel different than just getting ahead at work, but they don't have to. You can treat them in much the same way with a few basic ideas that are taken from neuroscience and behavioral science, and you'll see the details on that. We'll also talk in the work on managing yourself on issues such as burnout. Are you burned out? Are you spending time at work on boring things or inconsequential things? Do you feel unappreciated? What do you do about that? Well, you need to understand yourself and understand why you're in some unproductive patterns in your life. This section walks you through each problem that blurs the line between the personal and the professional, such that you can resolve some of these issues in your life and not feel the burnout. By the way, what's burnout at all? What's happening in your brain? You'll find out. And this will help you put on your own oxygen mask first, as it were, so that you'll be more successful in your job and in your life. Then we can move on to, how do you build your career? Once you're managing yourself, once you're able to be a great employee to yourself, what are you trying to do? How are you trying to build your career? This is very work-oriented part of the book. Building your career, well, a lot of people think about it when they're in their 20s. They think this is the building phase of their career. But the truth of the matter is that in the business of your life, this is an ongoing operation. It's a process of exploration and discovery. The truth of the matter is that you're probably different than other people, and this part of the book will tell you how you are to identify yourself. Do you have the kind of linear career where you go from one thing to the next, where everything that you do is bigger and better and grander than the last? Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe you're more of a spiral where your career is actually a set of mini careers of 7 to 12 years. And sometimes you make more money and sometimes less, but you're setting it up as an adventure of your own making. It's important to know the kind of person that you are, and you'll find out from this part of the book. This section will also help you know when it's the right time to switch jobs. A lot of people struggle with this. They're afraid of these kinds of changes. I don't like my job, but will I be happier? The data are here. You probably will be, as a matter of fact, and I'm hoping that this part of the book will give you courage. Knowledge tends to give you courage because you can understand the experience that other people have and the experience that you can expect when you're moving from job to job. And indeed, if you're looking at a career change, we'll talk about that too. How to trust your gut when it's time to make a change. As a matter of fact, I will give you a rubric, a tool for what you should be listening to in your own feelings and your gut for the kind of change that you want to make. What should you be looking for? What should you be avoiding? Well, you'll find out. Now, in the process of having a successful career and a successful life, one of the most important skills that you have is, of course, dealing with other people, basic communication and connection. That's part three of this book. Communication and connection in the workplace, and at home for that matter, are really all about managing the enterprise of your life and having an enterprise that gets better and better as the years go by. This is the section where you'll learn how to take and give criticism well based on the best communications literature out there, the social psychology that talks about people who are really good at giving criticism and bad at taking it, or vice versa. What does good criticism look like? Also, how do you give a great compliment? How do you talk to people that you don't know? If you're an introvert, how can you sometimes act as if you're an extrovert, which is a nice thing to be able to do, part of the repertoire of communication that you'd like to have, because this will build the connections with other people. Basic tools of the enterprise when it comes to connecting with other people is what you'll find in this part of the book. And by the way, there's one thing you'll learn in this section as well, which is, where should you not connect and communicate with other people if you can avoid it? Here's the answer. Meetings. I'm going to arm you with the data that show that you should eliminate as many meetings as you possibly can. Want to be happier? Stay away from the meetings, and certainly don't call them if you can possibly avoid it. Part four of the book is work-life balance. And you're going to find in this part of the book that I hate that expression. Why? Because work-life balance sounds like you got to balance two different things. And the truth of the matter is, if you want to be happy in the enterprise of your life, your work and your life are part of the same phenomenon, because your work should be part of your life. It shouldn't be all of it. You should have other things in your life that are not involved with your job, for sure. Family comes to mind, friendship comes to mind, all kinds of things that are not your work time, but your work should be part of your life. And so you'll find in the book that I don't use work-life balance. I talk about work-life integration, because that's really what we want. We want these things to work together. As it says in the good book, iron sharpens iron, and your work and the rest of your life should be the iron that sharpen each other. How do you do it? Well, you'll find out. You'll find out how successful people do it, but more importantly, how happy people do this. What are the boundaries? Where does your work stop and your life start in a way that actually makes your work better and your life better? What's the best way to work with people in the workplace that don't understand this? What do you do about people that might not be the best colleagues, that are calling you to do things that make your life a little bit worse? Well, that's what we'll talk about in this section on balancing work, life, and relationships. Integrating work, life, and relationships. That's what I explore in this section. Last but not least, the fifth section of the book is success. It's what you want. At the end of the day, with any kind of startup that you have, you better know what the end is, and you better keep it in mind. What do you want? Now, if you're starting a little company, you might say to yourself, what's success? It's getting bought by some bigger company, or getting to the initial public offering or something like that. Well, how do you define success for the startup of your life? You thought about that? What does success mean to you? Hint, don't denominate it in dollars if you want to be a happy person. This is not to say that money is unimportant. Quite the contrary. It's very important for doing all kinds of things. But the metric that we choose to understand our own personal success is of critical importance, because that's one of the ways that we choose to manage ourselves, is with respect to that metric. We need to understand that success will lead you to misery if you're only talking about money, power, pleasure, fame, prestige, title, position. Rather, those things are intermediate goods to the things that we really want, which is love and satisfaction and relationships and the faith and the service that we want to actually have in our lives. How do we define that kind of success? How do we measure that kind of success? Well, you'll find out in this part of the book. And by the way, this will not make you lose your edge. On the contrary, when you know the success that you're shooting for, you know how to measure it. Boy, does that make you want to show up for work and do your very best every day. And then it makes you want to go home and do your very best at home as well. You'll find that defining success and measuring it for your life as a startup, and it's not just those worldly measures, can be the game changer in your life. You'll explore also why, for some people, succeeding feels really better. they got to the finish line and they said, that's it. What that's all about is the importance of making progress. So for the business of your life, you need to always be making progress. How? Well, I'll talk an awful lot about that. And I'm kind of thinking that that might be really useful to you. It's been really, really useful to me because my life, like yours, is a startup. And I want you to be happier over the business of making that the most gloriously successful startup you can possibly imagine. That's the job of this book. This is the Happiness Files we're talking about. The subtitle is Insights on Work and Life, being published in August of 2025 by the Harvard Business Review Press. I wrote it for you. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you pass it on to your friends. I hope you learn some things from it. And I hope really that you become, like me, a happiness teacher with these ideas. Because ultimately, that's one of the greatest kinds of success that we can get, where we get happier and bring the ideas to others. That's the goal of this book, and I wish it for you. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy The Happiness Files.